Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your Tuesday. And it's always a great day when I get to talk with someone who I admire, someone that I enjoy talking with you, and someone who is passionate about the Grizzlies as I am. And that is GBB's own associate editor, Parker Fleming. Parker, how are you, sir?
You know, Sean, I really can't complain. We've got some good basketball that we can enjoy even though the Grizzlies aren't in. And I'm going on vacation starting tomorrow, so that'll be a nice little getaway. So all is well over here.
So Parker has had a pretty exciting month of June. Let's see here. Number one on the list is the fact that he has started a new podcast called The Long View through GBB. But there's something else that happened in the month of June that seems to be a bit more meaningful. Parker, I'll let you take it away on that. But it happened within the past few weeks. Go ahead, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to say actually that it's number two. It's number one. It's far away more than my new podcast, and that's getting engaged. So yeah, I proposed to my girlfriend of about 18-19 months last Saturday. So we've been engaged for over almost 10 days now. So yeah, that's the big news that Sean's been alluding to.
Yeah, and all joking aside, obviously the engagement a far more meaningful thing, but congratulations to Parker and to the future Mrs. Fleming. An exciting month for Parker, but of course, with a lot of excitement going on, we have the NBA as well. And the thing is that when it comes to the NBA, Parker, we've got the playoffs going on. Obviously, it's going to be going on a little bit longer this year than we normally see, but we've also got the offseason coming into full swing. Already have seen a big swing in terms of a trade for OKC and Boston, but just overall, your playoff perspective so far this year, it's been an exciting playoffs with new blood in place to win the title.
That's been the most fun part about it. I mean, obviously, the Grizzlies doing what they did. I mean, granted, they lost in five, but just the fact that they were there, they got to battle up against the best team in the West. Well, not really anymore. They're not the best anymore. They just got knocked out. But getting to see how they stood against one of the most elite teams in the NBA, that was just really cool to see. But also just this new blood coming in, man. It's just built different. You have Devin Booker really kind of emerging past that really unfair label he had of as an empty stats guy or a good stats, bad team. I mean, there's hit segments on national outlets saying if he was any good or if he's best suited for being a six man. He's debunking all that right now, looking like a bona fide star on a title contending team. Paul George cooking, but also the unsung heroes of Terrence Mann, Reggie Jackson, Kevin Huerter last night for the Hawks. It's been fun to watch. I mean, I'll tell you what, the most fun player it's been to watch is Trae Young. Just the fact that he's embracing that villain role. You're hearing those profanity-laced chants in opposing arenas, and he's just eating it all up. He's talking smack to the crowd. He's doing push-ups after getting knocked down. After he knocked out the New York Knicks in the Garden, he took a bow at center court in front of the Madison Square Garden fans. I mean, I just love that. I just love that. And, you know, as we're really kind of ushering into this new era with, you know, LeBron on the wrong side of 30, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. I mean, it's just really fun to see that this fresh blood is just ready for these moments and to really just provide entertaining basketball that will carry us through the 2020s.
Yeah, and you had so many layers of success when it comes to this playoffs, right? You have, Kevin Durant, you have Kawhi Leonard, you have Chris Paul showing, you know, why they're all-time greats. You've got the new stars from Ja to Trey to others who have done well in their first playoffs, but you're exactly right. Not only is it new blood in terms of teams that are there, but you have some stars that also who are quieting the doubters. Like, you've got Paul George, you've got Giannis, you've got Chris Paul to an extent finally getting to, you know, Western Conference playoffs with a good chance of making the finals. There's so many layers of positivity at a time where it's truly needed. But the other thing about it is, Parker, is that we're talking about the playoffs, which is in the present. Tomorrow night, obviously, first time in 4 years, the Grizzlies are not in the lottery. And hey, you know, I think all of us will take the end result of this season instead of that. But just your excitement on a night where you really could see a third of the league, a third of the teams in the league, their futures heavily, heavily impacted by one night, which is tomorrow's lottery.
You know, I'm really excited for the draft lottery, even though the Grizzlies aren't in it, because there's a moment that these fan bases will get to experience that same joy that we had when the Grizzlies got the number two pick in the 2019 draft and were able to land John Morant. They're going to have that same hoax. I mean, I tell you what, where I was at Casual Pint out by the University of Memphis with Connor Dunning and Brandon Abraham. And, you know, we were all kind of looking into the draft lottery and we were watching, you know, the Grizzlies. If they found out, it's like, okay, they're either going to get top four, or they're going to convey this pick, literally exactly what you wanted as a Grizzlies fan. And when we saw the Grizzlies jump into the top four, and I'll tell you what, once they got into two, it was just like, oh, wow. Because for one, you had the adrenaline of, oh, my goodness, they're about to get Zion Williamson. But also, like, this is awesome. We're about to get John Morant or RJ Barrett. I mean, I know I didn't want to, like, frame it as, like, Ja or RJ because, like, it was a decently valuable conversation to have. But, I mean, everybody knew it was going to be John Morant. But just that excitement that we had at that moment and – that moment when the Grizzlies drafted John Morant, we're on the watch party at the Bluff and just everybody's just going nuts. It's going to be nice for some people to experience that same feeling, you know, with guys like Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, Jalen Green. Now, I just pray that it's a bunch of Eastern Conference teams that experience that same luck and none of our Western Conference foes.
Not completely agree. If any luck is on anybody's side, by all means, please let it be in the Eastern Conference. 100% agree with you. And I'll say, I think everybody remembers. I remember when the 2018 draft that happened 3 years yesterday. You talked about it on Twitter, how deep that draft is and how you're starting to see some lottery teams from that draft really start to have success. I was at Neal's, you know, off of a Quince and Linfield watching that draft, and we got Jaren Jackson Jr. So it's been a memorable experience for us over the past few years. You hope to see that for many teams. But Parker, and before we get into the rest of the show, this is what I want to ask you. We've seen the playoffs. We've seen the lottery. We had to experience one to get into the other. And now that leads to an offseason where we hope all options are on the table. Do you truly feel that when it comes to this Grizzlies team, all options are on the table in a variety of different ways for them to not only get better in the present, but also continue to focus on getting better in the future?
I'm going to say all of them except for that superstar trade because nobody's demanding a trade just yet. I don't see the Grizzlies being that front office that bites on the Ben Simmons experiment, nor do I see Philly getting enticed by any sort of package that the Grizzlies would have. So I'm not going to entertain that. I know it's been very much entertained on Grizzlies Twitter, but I am not. But I think there's a pretty good amount of decent options. I mean, let's start with the draft. You got the 17th pick. Hopefully that's the highest pick you have for the next decade because you want to be in contention for like that home court advantage / title contention, top four seed. Those typically yield like mid to late 20s in the picks. But, you know, they have that Utah pick where they can go out and get an extra pick to kind of buy high on a guy. Or they can use that Utah pick plus 17 to go move up to go get their guy. They have really good players on cost control contracts, some that are expiring contracts. You know, you can see some of those being in play to make an upgrade. The real one is just the Justice Winslow team option. You know, I listened to your podcast the other day with Keith Smith, and I thought what he presented was a pretty good option of declining the team option, seeing what they can do in free agency, and if they don't feel like they can move any sort of needle in free agency, and you've kind of established with Justice Winslow, like, hey, like we'll bring you back at this cost, then I think that's good too. So you just have a bunch of different options that are in play that I don't think will kill the flexibility that this team has going forward, even if they were to offer some free agent, a a 4 years, $80 million. Granted, is it the smartest thing? Depends on the player. But I think for the most part, you have every option out on the table.
And what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to get a little bit more into those options. Parker had a great piece over at Grizzly Bear Blues talking about taking the swing for the Grizzlies last week. We'll get a little bit more into that with Parker Fleming of Grizzly Bear Blues. It's time for our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, and this week I'm going to go with Jaren Jackson Jr. I think that he won it once before when he came back from his injury, but the reason why I'm giving it to Jaren Jackson Jr. a day after, 3 years ago, he really was the first step in this Grizz Next Gen version of the Grizzlies. He's come back. He showed that he is healthy. He showed some improvement in some areas of his game that needed improvement, and this offseason, he's healthy and hopefully is going to really be able to embrace what Taylor Jenkins wants for him to do, hopefully with the new extension in tow as well going into next season. A really good setup for him to take the next step in his game overall as a Grizzly. And the thing that really helps out Jaren Jackson Jr. is the same thing that helps out many of the Grizzlies. It's the fact that because of the roster that they're on, they play with joy and happiness because of the enjoyment that they have playing with their fellow players. It breeds an opportunity for this team to love playing basketball with Ja Morant and others, but also for them to consistently develop their game. And another thing I can tell you is this, is that if you want joy and happiness while you're watching the Grizzlies or other sports that you love, enjoy it with a nice glass of Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success, as the Memphis Grizzlies are the best example of. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. The next time you enjoy the Grizzlies or whatever sports action you're watching, enjoy it with a glass of Michelob Ultra. On today's Road to the Finals, your NBA playoff coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. So, Parker, back to discussing this offseason. So, you're talking about moving the needle. And the thing about it is that there's not really a lot of those players that do it, but there is some intriguing new, I guess you could call them needle movers to an extent, as restricted free agents. Duncan Robinson, Lonzo Ball, John Collins, but those guys are possibly where you're looking at. But to consider those guys, a couple things come in play. A trade or wanting to keep as much money as possible for the 2022 season. Your thoughts on those guys as targets?
I'm going to start first with Collins and Ball. I think at this point, the Hawks would be foolish not to match anything that was offered to John Collins. I think it would actually set the team back pretty good if they let go of John Collins. Lonzo Ball, it's so tricky because they're going to have a new coach in there, and they've been willing to move him, but Zion loves playing with him. Ingram loves playing with him. David Griffin was smart, and he hasn't really shown much that he is. He would match anything Lonzo Ball got. I would love him for the Grizzlies. It accomplishes this newfound goal that I have for the Grizzlies to have a combo guard that can take on backup point guard minutes in sense. It doesn't matter if he's a starting two guard. He's a guy that can run the point, run the offense while John Morant's out of the game. That's what's needed if you're going to do like any sort of playoff consolidated rosters where you're going eight-man rotations. That guy's kind of needed, and Lonzo Ball would actually be one hell of an option there. Obviously, my main one's Duncan Robinson. I can't lie with that one. It's going to be interesting to see what they can do with that. I think 4-8 is worth it. He's an elite shooter. He's an elite shooter off movement. He's an elite shooter with good size. The question is, like, is that price tag worth it? But also, what's the line that the Miami Heat won't match? I mean, could you be willing to offer him something in the Joe Harris ballpark of like 4 years, $75 million, but also be willing to sign and trade an expiring contract like Kyle Anderson or Grayson Allen with the Utah pick and some seconds attached to it? That could be an option too. I don't know what they're going to – like they can get creative in free agency, and I do agree that there's that – long-term commitment aspect with it. You know, you don't want to give a shooting specialist 4 years and $80 million, but Duncan Robinson shown that he's an elite one at that. And it comes to a point where, like, you know, if 4 years, $80 million ends up being an overpay by year two, even if he's shooting like 38-40% from three and averaging 12 a game, the Grizzlies have enough players to where they can still use Duncan Robinson as that salary matching piece that ultimately nets you a star, because NBA teams, they value shooting no matter what price it's at. So it's going to be very interesting to see where they go, because, I mean, it's all kind of centered around the fact of what they're going to do with Justice Winslow.
And I agree. And that's from what Keith Smith was talking about. That's one of the things that stood out to me, was besides declining Winslow and seeing what's in free agency, it's the simple fact of having options on the table for a creative front office. And that's the thing that I'll ask for, like our Duncan Robinson, you know, it's not just the commitment of 3 to 4 years, $17 to $20 million. You're probably going to get a Malcolm Brogdon situation when he went from Milwaukee to Indiana. You make that level of commitment to a player, but you also have to trade assets to get him, maybe a couple of firsts and a second or what have you. So it's a big time commitment. But I do think that that is something the Grizzlies could certainly consider while also moving around in the draft and then recoup those assets as well. While we may not get the home run move, Parker, I do think we could sit here and see an unexpected move to consolidate some quantity pieces into quality and then move around in the draft to get some assets as well. I think we could see a multiple moves type offseason as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think in the draft, it's more about exploring if you can move up, because I think a couple guys they can move up for. And I know we'll surely talk about this in our podcast that we're doing later with the Longview, is could they move up for a guy like Keon Johnson or James Boatnight or Moses Moody or Franz Wagner? It's going to be very, very interesting. But I agree with you. They may not consolidate to get that star, but can you consolidate to get you a surefire top eight guy in a rotation? Or can you consolidate in a way to get you a pure starting two guard where you can shift Dylan Brooks up to the three? It's going to be a very interesting summer in that regard. But I would be very careful with that, because at some point you do want to consolidate for that star. And I think guys like, and even from what I think and what others would say, is guys like Brandon Clark and De'Anthony Melton, even though they had less than ideal ends to the season, those two guys could be guys that have a good variance of potential with a good floor of being a role player, that they could be that centerpiece package along with some picks and some salary fodder that could be used to go get a big star. So I would make sure that you're not using too many assets just to go get a good starting three. Like, don't use too many assets to go get Harrison Barnes, or don't use too many good assets to something Keith Parrish threw out there is using cap space to go get Gary Harris. Like, you just got to be very careful in how you're using this consolidation this offseason, or else you're going to have to work a little bit harder to go get some assets to go get a star. And I want to even cross out the fact of using players and consolidating through accumulating more assets. Like, guys like Tyus Jones and Grayson Allen, don't rule out them just getting traded for second round picks that you can use in later deals. Or don't rule out, I saw something on Silver Screen and Roll. I was looking for it. Somebody mentioned it in the comments, but what if the Lakers call and they offer you the 22nd pick plus some salary for Kyle Anderson? So it's just stuff like that you got to like kind of take into considerations. You can kind of do a little sell-ish mode for picks, but it also too can clear some stuff up, but also add a little bit more to the asset cupboard so that you can go out and trade for a star down the road, whether that's 12 to 18 months from now or 24 to 36 months from now.
Tonight, the night is finally here. The NBA lottery is upon us. And of course, that means that there are so many different odds that can be out there, so many different scenarios that can play out. And if you're someone that enjoys betting and wagering on events like the NBA lottery or the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, MLB baseball, whatever you enjoy wagering and betting on, I've got the one place that has you covered, the fastest and easiest way to bet online, and that's betonline.ag. Fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Get all the news, the latest news, odds, and info on all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device and use the promo code LOCKEDON to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit betonline.ag today. Listen, the summer is here, and that means you're probably out and about more often, traveling, going to work, all these different things. It's nice to be out and about once again. The thing is, though, is that if you are, you're likely going to need to make sure your car is up to efficient performance, and that may mean some repairs are needed. Well, if you need car parts, rockauto.com is the great place for you. Number one, it's great to use because it's simple to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you'll likely find what you need, and regardless of the make and model or the part, rockauto.com is likely to have what you need. Whether you're someone like me who needs other to do their repairs, you can do repairs on your own, or you do car repairs for a living, rockauto.com is a very cost-effective place. They are a family-owned business, been in business for over 20 years. They know car repairs typically fall outside of budgets, so they want to make sure you're covered by making prices as effective as possible. If you visit rockauto.com, let them know the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, what do the Philadelphia 76ers do with Ben Simmons? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast or the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Back with Parker Fleming from Grizzly Bear Blue. So, Parker, you know, you mention it because there's a lot of an interesting thing from this season is that besides Jaw, Jonas, Kyle, Dillon were our biggest reasons why we succeeded. You also had Grayson shooting. You have Tyus and his contract as well. But Grayson, Tyus, Jonas, Kyle Anderson all coming into the last year of their contracts, all expiring contracts, very valuable to very valuable chips. But you also could see them making sense to stay long-term, especially Kyle and Jonas. Another way of having options on the table, getting creative, just like you mentioned, is trading one of them. But also you could see a potential extension maybe for Jonas. I mean, those four, I asked Keith Smith about it. He said he probably would just stand pat. But I do think you can get a little bit creative. It may not be the most, you know, cheered option, but I do think you can get creative with one of those bets to make something work long term as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't sign any of them to an extension at this moment, just because like you want to maintain that flexibility. You know, like what if you opt into the Justice Winslow team option? And then you find out that you get into the 2022 offseason, another lackluster season in Chicago, and you have somebody like Zach LaVine interested in signing in Memphis. Well, you can renounce all those bird rights with guys like Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson, Justice Winslow. You'll have that same option with Tyus and Grayson Allen as well. And you can go get Zach LaVine. I don't know if you can do the same thing if you were to sign those guys to an extension. Granted, there's a lot of cap gymnastics you have to do to get those guys, but you want to maintain that flexibility. And I'm not sold. I mean, look, Jonas is really good, but you saw where his liabilities are in postseason basketball with drop coverage and getting exposed from the 3-point line. Your optimized feature is Jaren Jackson Jr. at the five. So do you want to give an extension to a guy that demands minutes at the starting five and not having and paying also a lot of money for a guy that can't be in your closing lineups? That's a very good question to ask. But Kyle, it's interesting too, because don't you kind of want to get a little more data on Brandon Clark and Xavier Tillman next to Jaren Jackson Jr. to see if either one of those guys can start next to them on this up and coming Grizzlies team 2-3 years down the line? That's something you got to think about too. So I'm not going to be mad if those guys get an extension because they rightfully deserve it. They are impact players for this Grizzlies team, especially with Kyle Anderson. His just two-way versatility, his ability to guard five positions, his ability to rebound, be a secondary playmaker, and just really make no mistakes, making the most out of his usage. And with Jonas Valanciunas, you have another guy who, you know, when the offense is slow and you're not really getting any buckets, he's a guy you can throw it down to go get you a post-up bucket. He's a guy who can clean up misses on drives, on contested drives. There is value with Jonas Valanciunas, but I just kind of wanted to play that little devil's advocate out there because that the extension can cost you a little flexibility. So you just got to assess a little bit. It's like, okay, can this person play in a game seven of a second round playoff game or a Western Conference Finals game or a Finals game alongside John Morant or Jared Jackson Jr.? And I think that's a very good question to ask going forward when you're trying to build the construction of this team.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head is that, you know, at the end of the day, it's wonderful to see that Jonas, Kyle, and Dylan had career years. But Dylan's significantly younger. He's on a two-year contract. As a two-way player, I think he shows more potential that will translate to the playoffs. But as you mentioned it, it's great that both Kyle and Jonas had their career years to help the Grizzlies once exceed expectations. But Jonas is probably not playable in the playoffs for an extended time. Kyle is a natural person to want to upgrade on to be able to play with Ja, Dylan, and Jaren in the playoffs. So I agree with you. You want to be loyal to them, but you also want to be conservative and keep as much options on the table as possible. And I don't know if an extension for Jonas or Kyle really represent that type of proactive, advantageous type addition to the future. But we do talk about being conservative and keeping cap space free, but there also needs to be aggressiveness and going for upside. And Parker, I think me and you both agree. The Grizzlies have done well drafting high floor prospects recently, but upside should be the name of the game in this draft.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? I'm not going to be upset either way, because if they go out and get a guy like Corey Kispert or Chris Duarte, that's really good for them because those are two guys that can come in right away and they can play minutes. And you have these little weird lineups that you saw in the postseason where they would play D'Anthony Melton, Grayson Allen, Desmond Bane at the same time, 2, 3, and 4. And you could potentially kind of upgrade Grayson into a bigger version. I'm not going to say a bigger version of him, but maybe a bigger, little more upgraded version of him. Like imagine rolling out those lineups and you have a 6'7 Corey Kispert or a 6'6 Chris Duarte in there instead of a 6'3, 6'4 Grayson Allen. That could bode well for the team's future. But I do think the upside swing is a good one. A popular name I've seen in Grizzlies mock drafts is Kai Jones, and I think he's really good. And he could be that guy that can play alongside Jaren Jackson Jr. going forward. It gives you yet another option that, you know, you can develop him in South Haven while you're letting Brandon Clark and Xavier Tillman get reps next to Jaren. And you can just develop his skills and see what he can become. Zaire Williams is another good option. We'll talk about this guy later, but Jaden Springer would be another really good one. So, yeah. I think upside's a play. I also really like Trey Mann. Like Trey Mann is a guy that I think could be really good. He's still growing into his body. He's a really good shot creator. It's a lot of good directions that can go, but I mean, whether it's upside or it's kind of sticking with the status quo with this draft status, I think this front office with the draft has deserved the benefit of the doubt.
And that's absolutely correct. You want to go with the benefit of the doubt. However, you see where they've taken these high floor players and made them have more of an immediate impact than people may have thought with Clark and Bain and Tillman. But the other thing I'll ask you is this, is that I think that it comes down to upside or value or fit. And I think this year there should be, you know, you want the Grizzlies to go BPA, best player available. But I also think that fit makes sense. You've got plenty of guard depth. You've got plenty of front court depth. If you get that, you just mentioned it, if you could upgrade a Grayson's role to a Corey Kispert and potentially allow for yourself to be able to get that big wing, I think like if it came down to a Springer and a Williams or maybe a Bouknight and a Kispert, you probably go with a bit more size with the wing fit, in my opinion, to allow for yourself to have depth and really balance out the roster by focusing on a wing if it came down to a certain duo or trio of players.
Absolutely. It's a good draft class to be in this position because there's that good blend of guys can come in and contribute right away. But there's also that good blend of upside where, and also with this Grizzlies team, they can afford an upside swing. That's how, I mean, you have guys like obviously Ja and Jaren, but you have guys like Dylan Brooks and Desmond Bane and Brandon Clark, Xavier Tillman, DeAnthony Melton, Grayson Allen. I'll even say Kyle Anderson, John Conchar. You have guys that made pretty good arguments to be a part of your future. So if you swung on upside and you missed, it's not going to be a big demerit. I mean, they're doing this at 17. It'd be different if they were doing this at like, it'd be different if they missed at 4 or 3 than if they missed at 17. You know, like if you miss at 17, nobody remembers it. I mean, let's think about it. Who's the 17th pick in 2016?
That guy. I can't remember off the top of my head. Yeah.
It was Wade Baldwin. It was when the Grizzlies drafted Wade Baldwin.
There you go.
I mean, has that impacted the Grizzlies' future right now? No. I mean, were there good players drafted after him? Absolutely. But you know what? The Grizzlies are still in good position to succeed and have sustainable success going forward.
And that hits the nail on the head with what Parker, we're here with Parker Fleming wrapping up this version of Locked On Grizzlies. But you hit the nail on the head. We talk about being aggressive. Joe Mullinax over Grizzly Bear Blues obviously, you know, mentioned the same thing, and it makes sense. If you take an upside swing, a home run swing in the draft, and you miss, it's not that debilitating. If you take a home run swing now in terms of trading major assets for an NBA star, yet you still have plenty to know about your current roster and your young players, that is debilitating. So that's the reason why aggressiveness in the draft really stands out. But that's the thing that I'll end with on this, Parker, is when it comes to you and your outlook for this offseason, what are you most excited about? Maybe a healthy offseason for Justice and Jaren. Maybe multiple moves from this front office. Maybe seeing what type of indications we get as to where they're going to go in this draft as they change their draft strategy. What excites you the most about this offseason?
Internal improvement. Not even just, you know, you mentioned Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow. I do think healthy offseasons can play a huge part for them. But I'll even go another step further. And then Brandon Clark, he kind of fell out of everybody's graces. I mean, he fell out of the rotation too. But, I mean, everyone kind of did a quick 180 on him as GBB senior staff writer Ben Hogan read about in our player review piece. And I think this off season for Brandon Clark could be a big one because, you know, he can get healthy. He can get a shot back. He can work on his strength and just work on his body in general. I mean, I think we kind of miss out on what a healthy offseason can do for players. We don't look at the injury aspect too much. We just kind of say, or just any sort of mental aspect, we just kind of look at it as like, oh, this player played good or this player played bad. But I think there's a good opportunity this summer where, you know, if the Grizzlies did nothing, they can still improve because, I mean, they were 4 games above 500, won 2 play-in games in a playoff game as an 8 seed with probably 60% of what Jaren Jackson Jr. can be. Brandon Clark being about 50 to 60 or about 60%, and then Justice Winslow being about 5% of what he is. So there's just a lot of room for improvement internally, and I don't even want to go past the injuries. Imagine what it's going to do for Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman to get 5 months of an NBA regimen from the team that drafted them. I mean, they got drafted, and then 2 weeks later, it was training camp. Like, they were thrown to the wolves, and now they're getting this time to work on their game in an NBA regime with their assistant coaches and Coach Taylor Jenkins telling them what to work on over the offseason. That's going to be massive for them, too. So I'm just excited to see where each player takes their next steps, because I think it could be a lot of fun.
That's, to me, one of the biggest positives about this offseason is you see all these injuries that are happening in the NBA. The Grizzlies are dealt with their injuries in the first half of the season. They're one of the healthier teams going into this offseason. You saw what Dylan Collin-Jonas did with a healthy offseason. They had career years. So you're right. You sit here and you have the depth going through another regimen with Taylor Jenkins. I want to see next year, regardless of record or outcome, Ja and Jaren take their next steps as players as well. So I agree completely. It may not be what people want to hear. We heard it all offseason last offseason, internal improvement, data accumulation. Well, going that route worked out for you to exceed expectations. Why not do it again, especially to get some information on your young players? Parker, it's been a thrill. This is one of two today. I will be on Parker's show, his new show, The Long View. We'll be talking about the NBA draft also out today at some point in time. But Parker, what else is going on your end? I know you said you're on vacation tomorrow, but leading up to the draft and in the month of July, what could people be looking out for from you?
Just draft stuff, I guess. I mean, I'll probably touch back on some stuff that we saw from players this season, like after free agency dies down a little bit. I dropped a big piece today. I apologize to Joe. I gave him a near 3,000 word piece to edit the day after Father's Day. I feel bad for that, but you know, I got to dive into some film, and that was really fun. I'll probably be doing some more film dives with other players specifically once the season wraps up. But just look for draft coverage from me, whether it's podcast or written content. We're getting to that time, and I'm really excited to see how it can shape out.
Same here. It's been a lot of fun with Parker Fleming. You can find him at Paka_Flaka. That's PAKA_FLAKA. Parker, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to talking with you again here on Locked On Grizzlies at some point this offseason. I'm sure we'll have you on before the draft.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And I can't wait to have you on my show here in a couple minutes.
Hey, that's the double duty when you've got someone as wonderful as Parker to be able to talk with on occasion when it comes to these podcasts. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSEC. Parker's all his great work over at Paka_Flaka, as well as our written work at GrizzlyBearBlues.com, his new podcast, The Long View. Wonderful start to it. He had Anthony Sain, Connor Dunning, and Joe Molinax on his first two episodes. Looking forward to spending some time with him there. But for Parker Fleming, my name is Sean Coleman. It's been a pleasure. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.